Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, Heights. Good to see you, and so good to be with you, especially on this campus ministry weekend, which means we are able to disconnect from the other campuses and have a little bit of our own Heights family time here together. And it's really fun for me to be able to be here and speaking with you whenever it's our ministry partner celebration weekend. And if you missed the video or came in late, our ministry partners, when I first started here 8 years ago, I wasn't sure what that was. It's our volunteer force. It's individuals who've just made a commitment to serve in some role on a regular basis here. And obviously, we could not, you know, do what we do without our ministry partners. And so if that's you, we have a little gift out here in room 104, a little reception area behind the Connect Central, and our staff will be there. They'd love to be able to meet you there. And we know you do it because of what Christ has done in your life and that you want to give back. And, you know, it's really, you've gone beyond the golden rule. You're really living out the platinum rule, is what I call it. It's, you know, do unto others what Christ our King has done unto you to serve others, right? That's the platinum rule. And we just want to thank you for those of you who serve. And we all know whenever we serve, it does help us to become more like Jesus, doesn't it? And that's why we do it. So it's really a win-win. So just to actually celebrate you, why don't you stand? If you have served in a regular role this last year, would you stand? And so we can just honor you right now. All right. Thank you. All right. And by the way, we have 1,045 ministry partners here just at Heights. Isn't that amazing? I know. Yeah, I love that. Well, it was 12 years ago in 2014. That was actually 4 years before I came here as your campus pastor, that I was at another church event. It was right here at the Sky Sox Stadium here in town. And my wife, Tammy, she had stayed back because we had some friends from Atlanta who were coming over to stay with us, and so she wanted to be there to receive them. And so I'm in the middle of that event, and Tammy calls me, and she says, hey, the doctor just called to tell me that I have an egg-sized brain tumor that needs to be surgically removed. And wow, like, that began 12 years of challenges, of issues to be concerned about, a lot of things to worry about, to be anxious about. And in that moment, it's like, okay, is the tumor malignant? What are the implications long-term for Tammy? What's the surgery gonna look like? I mean, the list goes on and on. And it created this wave of anxiety for us. It was a cloud that really, really hung over us. And so it's been interesting for me this last year. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to specifically about anxiety, how many pastoral counseling meetings I've had to talk through that. Actually, this morning, I did a little Google search. You could look it up. The last five-year trends of anxiety, and actually in the last 3 years, it says that every year, the anxiety in our country has gone up another 40% from the last year. It just keeps going up another 40%. It's amazing. And some will say it's an epidemic. And so, that's why we're going to talk about anxiety today. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, and we want to see what Jesus has to say about anxiety. And you just need to know that I need to hear this message just as much as you do. So just so you know, just to be honest, I'll probably be preaching as much to myself as I will be to you. But the passage that we look at today here in Matthew 6, it can really feel like one of the most unrealistic commands to follow. It's really a tough one. So before we look at it, let's just stop and let's pray and ask the Lord to really be a part of our time here. Lord, we just thank you for just the life of Jesus in terms of what he's modeled to us, how he dealt with anxiety and just his teaching on this and how practical it is. So I pray that you would just open up our hearts. And Lord, in this topic, it's just harder to apply. So we need your spirit. We need you to help us to really apply these truths. So we commit it all to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, Matthew chapter 6. And by the way, we have free Bibles in the back. If you ever need a Bible, just grab one. You're welcome to have that. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" So we all have anxiety. I mean, this isn't just, you know, Jesus here, it's a Christian thing. It's really a thing that we all have some level of anxiety no matter where we are in our journey with God. And what Jesus says about anxiety here is very practical. It is very helpful. In fact, as you hear what Jesus has to say about anxiety, there might be some of you here in this room that have not yet crossed that line of faith. You're still exploring what that relationship with Jesus looks like, and this could be the thing that really gets you to cross the line. Because someone might ask you, you know, like, how'd you become a Christian? And you say, well, because Jesus really initially helped me to deal with my anxiety. I mean, I'm still figuring out my beliefs, and I'm telling you, though, but I worry less. I mean, it's cheaper. I mean, less drugs, less counseling. I mean, it's amazing. So, for those of you who might be in that place in your journey, it just might be something for you to consider. Well, there's three quick questions that really get to the core and the heart of what Jesus is getting at this passage. So I just want to give you just kind of these three quick questions to begin our time. Who of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life or anyone else's life? Is worry lengthening your life, or could it be shortening your life? Who of you, by being anxious, is driving the people around you who are in your life out of their minds? I mean, has worrying made you more pleasant to be around? Who of you, by being anxious, has updated your lifestyle? I mean, your economic status. Has it reduced your grocery bill? Has it added value to your life? I mean, that's really the essence of what Jesus is saying to us today. And he uses examples of what we eat and what we drink and what we wear because these were the primary concerns of the people of that day in those ancient times of that generation. But we can fill in the blank with whatever it is that we're anxious about. So before we go any further, I just want you to get it real clear in your mind. What is it? What are the things that you actually tend to be more anxious about? I mean, as you're sitting here right now, are you worried about this guy that's standing on the stage that he might speak too long? Well, that's fair, but I'm not, so don't worry. So I hope you feel better now. Do you worry about where you're gonna go to school? If you're gonna get accepted at school? If you're gonna get a job or lose your job or get a raise? Do you worry about if you're gonna ever get engaged? If you're gonna get married? If you're gonna stay married? If you're gonna have children? Is there conflict in your family that you worry about, that you're anxious about? How about your kids? How about your grandkids? Is there conflict at work that keeps you up at night? Get it clear in your mind. Is it finances? Is it health issues? Is it health insurance? Is it being independent? Is it social issues about your relationships? What is it? What gets you anxious? What's weighing on you as you even entered church here this morning? Well, some of you might be saying, okay, Andrew, thanks a lot. Like, I came to church to get away from my anxiety, and now you just added anxiety from this whole big list. Well, Jesus is going to give us some help, so let's just hang in there, okay? So, verse 25, what's Jesus say? He asks this question. Is not life, he's saying, is not your whole life is what he's saying here. Not just your physical life, but your whole life, your emotional, spiritual, relational life. Is not your whole life more than food and the body more than clothes? So this is the first point. He's asking these first several verses that we're looking at here, what good does anxiety do? That's our first point. What good does anxiety do? I mean, isn't it true that there's more to us than the things that we have anxiety about? I mean, think about that. I mean, it's interesting. When we worry, it just becomes front and center, doesn't it? I mean, it becomes as big as our entire world. And Jesus says, he says, isn't it true that our whole life is bigger than whatever that particular thing is that you're worrying about? Our life is more significant than those things that we worry about in our world that we engage in. It's a big thought. Anxiety is typically bringing in the latter, or it's bringing in the future into the now, and it becomes this big deal in our minds. He says, it's not your whole life more than fill in the blank. What is it that you've identified are those things that you tend to be anxious about? I mean, for Jesus' audience, it was food, water, clothing. I mean, just some really basic things. And, you know, this truth, as we just drill into it, it can be hard for us to grasp it, to really apply it. Well, the surgery date was scheduled for Tammy. It was going to be in August, which was really perfect timing because our kids were in school and grad school at the time. And so they were able to make the time to come out. We had three grown children who were married. We had one grandchild at the time. She was actually here last night sitting in the front row. Here, she's now 14. It's hard to believe. And so here they are. They're flying across the country from the East Coast. And we're all excited. You know, just all the anticipation. We're going to spend some time together before the surgery. And they were texting us and saying, all right, we're on the plane. And so they're like, all the families are in the air at the same time. And the doctor calls and he says, we have to delay the surgery. I'm like, what? Yeah, Tammy's anemic. Her iron levels are low. She needs a blood transfusion. And it might take a month before we can reschedule this surgery. I mean, I was mad. I'm like, we had the perfect plan. You know, Tammy's crying. You know, it's like, this is bad. Like, how is this going to work out? How could this be a good thing? And that poor doctor, he's a personal friend. I really didn't love him very well. I've actually had to apologize to him multiple times since that phone call. And, you know, I was stressed. I was anxious. Like, Lord, you know, how is this going to work out? And Jesus says, what good does anxiety do? It's a good question. Verse 26, then Jesus says something that seems completely irrelevant here. Look at this, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds of the air. I mean, we're like, who has time for that? Look at the birds of the air. I mean, like, I have a test tomorrow. I got to study. Look at the birds of the air. I got to find a job. I got a job interview. I mean, you're telling me to do some bird watching? Like, you know, I got work to do here. You got to be kidding me. Birds of the air, seriously. Well, just to give you a little background and context, you know, Jesus is actually up on the hill teaching here, and he's outside, and actually birds are probably flying around, and so he's using that really as an illustration. So they'd be like, wow, you know, you look at the birds, they are pretty free. Like, that sounds like it would be great to be a bird. You know, it was interesting when I was writing this part of the message that I was sitting by my window that has a bird feeder, and so I started looking at the birds. And just flying in and out of the bird feeder. And I got to tell you, I started thinking it would be great to be a bird, you know? I mean, to kind of leave the world, fly around, leave the circumstances and all the stress. I mean, he says, consider the birds of the air. I mean, they don't worry. Then verse 27, he says, can any of you by being anxious add a single hour to your life or to anyone else's life? And the answer is, of course, what? No. He keeps asking the same question. You know, what good does anxiety do? And then he asks us the question that starts to get to the heart, the core of the issue here, behind worry and anxiety, verse 28 through 32. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He says here, will he, he's talking about God here, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? In other words, whatever it is that you're worried about, can you not trust God with the things that you're anxious about? I mean, do I really trust God with it? I mean, he's really getting down to the core of the foundational issue of faith and trust, trust in our God. And so the question we have to ask is, do I really believe that God's got this? That's our second point. Do I really believe that God's got this? Well, Tammy's surgery was supposed to last 3 hours, and it actually took over 9 hours for that surgery. And let me tell you, I was stressed out all day long. I mean, very little information. It was like every 2 or 3 hours, nurses calling, yeah, it's moving along. Like, I'm thinking, okay, so what's going on? They give me the bad news at the end. I mean, clearly something has changed. Something's not right here. And I was freaking out. So the tumor was more difficult than they thought. They couldn't get it all. The tumor had what's called tails, which are much more challenging to remove. And so they had to leave 15-20% of the tumor in there, which the doctor said, yeah, we'll have to deal with that later. And I'm thinking, okay, what's that mean? You know, deal with that later. Another thing to worry about, wasn't sure if it was benign. Got to send the tumor to the labs. It's going to take 2 or 3 days before we find out what's going on with that. I mean, I had never been really in this kind of a extreme situation with someone who I really care for like this. And it really, really pushes on your confidence in God. Do I really believe that God's got this? And Jesus says, in the context of whatever we need, whatever we're worrying about, he says, and your heavenly Father knows. He knows that you need these things. Now think about this. He knows. He knows everything that we're anxious about. You realize that? I mean, what if, like, this might sound a little bit weird, but what if tonight you're happening by yourself? Or maybe you're just driving by yourself, or maybe you're home, you're just laying in bed, and you're having these anxious thoughts, and you're worrying. You're worrying about that job interview. You're worrying about your finances. You're worrying about that relationship or this conversation you're going to have, or the kids or some conflict at work or whatever it might be. You have health issues. Whatever you're anxious about. And what if God just whispered to you right in the middle of your anxiety, and he just whispered an audible voice and just said, I know. I know. You knew it was God that was speaking to you. Now, would that change your reality? I mean, wouldn't that be really 90% of it if we really believed that God knew? Because even before we knew how it was going to work out, even before we knew if God was going to come through, and even if we knew before we understood whatever the outcome is going to be, wouldn't about 90% of the emotion subside if we knew that God knew? You see, Jesus, he's aware of this. And that's why he says in verse 32, your heavenly Father knows you need these things. And this is huge because it really strikes at the heart here. It strikes at what really begins to undermine the anxiety, the power of anxiety in our lives when we really believe that God's got this. Well, that first night in ICU after the all-day surgery was a brutal night. And they couldn't administer all the pain medication that you might normally do because they needed to keep the brain a little more active. And so they'd have to come in every hour. The nurse would come in every hour to give her the pain meds. And every time, you know how this goes, you know, how's the pain from 1 to 10? And if you know my wife, Tammy, you know, she's one to always kind of lowball it because she sometimes feels like if she's really honest with you, then you're going to feel bad for her. And she doesn't want you feeling so bad for her, so she just kind of lowballs. Well, in this case, every time it was 10. You know, when you see your loved one there and you can't do anything about it, I know some of you have been there. There's pain and suffering. It's like, Lord, how long? Lasted 12 hours. 10, 10, 10. It was like out of control. And I tell you what, it pushes on your confidence in God. I was exhausted. We pulled an all-nighter. And I was faced with that question. Do I really believe that God's got this? Do I really believe it? Let's keep going. So Jesus, he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So he starts his verse with the word but, because he's giving those of us who actually believe and trust that there is a personal God who's involved in our life, he's giving those of us who are followers of Jesus an alternative here when he says but. Because he says, I want you to seek something first. I want you to think about something else. In the middle of your anxiety, I want you to change directions, and he gives us this alternative. He says, but seek first his kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things that you have anxiety about will be given to you as well. You see, Jesus says that in that moment of anxiety, that should be our cue, that we need to look to see, okay, what is God up to in his kingdom right now in this moment? In other words, Jesus says, when you have concern for my kingdom first, then I'll take care of your kingdom and all those things that you're worrying about. That's his promise. And we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But then next, Jesus does something that's even more brilliant. Jesus relabels our anxiety. He relabels our worries. So just play along with me here for a minute. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think again. You know, what is that thing that you tend to worry about, that you're anxious most about? What's at the top of the list there? Got it in your head? Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to just start relabeling it. Don't call it whatever that is. So I want you to fill in the blank. You know, do not be anxious about blank. What is that? And then he says, from now on, from this point forward, whatever you worry about that thing, I want you to relabel it. And from now on, I want you to call it tomorrow. Just call it tomorrow. Call that anxiety, whatever that is. It's tomorrow. You see, we're really not worried about the bills. What we're really worried about is tomorrow. It's brilliant. And then he finishes this way. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So we need to trust God for tomorrow. Can we really trust him? So Tammy's first day in the ICU after surgery, the pain subsided. It just seemed like, okay, it's all gone well. She had just a little bit of weakness, but it just looked like things, you know, were moving along. But then it was the second day when she woke up, and she woke up to her entire right side being fully paralyzed, and she couldn't speak. And we're like, where'd that come from? I mean, no one told us that that would be a possibility. And, you know, it was like asking the doctors, okay, what's the prognosis here? Like, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, we really can't really give you any answers. You know, we don't know. There was no promise. And so, like, okay, is this a new reality? Like, is this a new normal? You know, and I could see it in Tammy's eyes and just like, what is happening? She couldn't speak. And I remember that third night in the ICU. To see the tears in her eyes, just overwhelmed. Like, is this my new normal? And that was the question. Is this going to get better? And God says, trust God for tomorrow. Don't be anxious. In a moment like that, it's like, wow, how do I apply that? It's incredibly difficult. So Jesus says in this passage in verse 34, he says, each day has enough trouble of its own. He's saying, look, I understand it's not an easy life. He says we all have troubles in this world. I mean, there's no promise if we follow Jesus, we're not going to have troubles. But, you know, it's interesting in the context. If you look at the audience of who Jesus was talking to, you know, if we think that we have troubles, I mean, these are people he's addressing, not sure what they're going to eat, what they're going to, if they're going to have clean, fresh water to drink the next day, if the clothes on their back, like how long are they going to last, this one set of clothes? I mean, when was the last time we worried about that, right? So it gives us a little bit of context for this truth and what Jesus is communicating here. And I'm not trying to minimize our concerns here. I mean, obviously we live in a different day and age, but this gives us some context because I'm sure the audience that Jesus was talking to, they come to us and they say, you know, like we're worried about if we're gonna have water tomorrow. I mean, you guys are watering your grass like every day and lots of it, you know? I mean, you got food rotting in your refrigerator, you don't even eat your leftovers. Like what is going on here, right? I mean, but we're in a different day and age. And so either way, Jesus is inviting us, and he invited them, just as he's inviting us even today, to fill in the blank with what is it that you're anxious about? And fill it in with the word tomorrow. Just use that word tomorrow. And he knows what those things are. He knows that we don't live in a perfect world. He knows that each day has its own trouble. And so he's saying, why borrow sorrow? Why bring in trouble from tomorrow into today? I mean, we have enough trouble for today. So why bring in tomorrow's troubles? So whatever it is that we have anxiety about, Jesus says, do not let that worry trouble you, because all of them are in the future. That's tomorrow. We can trust God for tomorrow. And let me say, you know, it's sometimes just sounds a little trite to say trust God. And I think what I find is that in our being, this is a core truth and a foundational thing in terms of our relationship with him, it really is about our journey with the Lord. That, you know, as we get to know and develop that relationship with him, what do we find? Is how trustworthy he is, right? And whenever we have that core belief that he is trustworthy, what do you think that does to our anxiety, right? And so if you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ, I mean, I early on just kind of threw it out there. I mean, seriously, it can really help you with anxiety. So Jesus teaches us, he says, don't be anxious. I mean, what good does worry do? Our Heavenly Father, I mean, he's with us today. He'll be waiting on us tomorrow. He's got this, he knows. He knows what we need today and we can trust him for it. He knows what's going on. We can trust him for tomorrow. But it's easy to say, so hard to do. So I just wanna close with some of this perspective and going to the Gospel of John. It's, I think it's really encouraging because Jesus taught these truths. His 3 years of ministry, these disciples, I mean, they're hearing this message over and over again, right? They're hanging out with Jesus, and this is so encouraging. I mean, here's Jesus. He's at the very end of his ministry and his life, and, you know, these are the guys, these disciples are the ones that are going to take his message to the world, you know? And, you know, they've seen miracles, they've participated in the miracles, they've been a part of all that. And guess what? They're still anxious. After being with Jesus, they still have anxiety. They hadn't eradicated anxiety from their lives, right at the end of Jesus' life. And so what's he do? He gathers his closest followers. He says to them, and this is so powerful, John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. See, again, the core issue is trust. It's faith. That God can be trusted. And the question we have to ask for ourselves is, do we really believe that God's got this? Then he goes on, when you drop down to verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." Then he repeats verse 1. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So he says, it's not the world's peace that I give to you. He says, it's my peace. Because the world's peace is based on circumstances. The world's peace is based on the assurance that I can pay my bills, that I can buy all the groceries. It's based on my bank account. It's based on who I know. It's the illusion that I can manage my future, that I can manage and take control of my life. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you a different kind of peace. It's not the kind of peace you have because you have nothing to worry about. He's not saying we don't have troubles. He says it's the kind of peace that you have when you realize that your Heavenly Father, he knows and he cares. And the Apostle Paul, he called it that peace that passes all understanding. That we can't fully understand it. It transcends our understanding. And while we may not be able to understand it, we certainly can experience it. But it's a different kind of peace. And it's such a better way to live. So this is a big deal. And there's three quick things here that you can do as I close to begin to really get this into your heart and life and mind. And so the first thing that I want to encourage you to do is to begin your day, every single day, declaring your trust in God. And so here's what I've learned is that if I can get ahead of my anxiety, then I can stay ahead of my anxiety. But if you let worry get ahead of you, worry is going to worry you until you think that there's more to worry about, right? And so let me tell you how you can get started here. I would, and this might sound a little bit goofy, but you can even start with this passage, Matthew chapter 6, and just start early in the morning, get alone, read it out loud multiple times. Just read it out loud. It's called renewing your mind. And it's getting God's truth. There's lots of scripture that we can go to help deal with our trust in God. So begin your day, every day, declaring your trust in God. Secondly, as I said a few minutes ago, just start labeling all your anxiety, whatever you're feeling. Get attuned to your feelings, for one. Us guys, we struggle with that a little bit. So know what you're feeling and just say, that's tomorrow. Relabel it tomorrow. So whatever it is, the finances, the job, the interview, whatever it might be, it's tomorrow. And I'm not saying you're irresponsible here, right? I mean, scripture talks a lot about being responsible. That's a whole nother message. Third thing, and this one's probably a little more difficult, but it's powerful. When you begin to have anxiety, start praying. So this is something that, yeah, it's a little embarrassing, but Tammy and I really started diligently praying every night when we found out she had that tumor 12 years ago. And let me tell you, it's transformed our marriage and our relationship. And, you know, it's easy, though, in our prayer time to just pray toward all the things, our things that we're anxious about and all the things that are going on in our lives and forget about, really, the kingdom, God's kingdom. And so I think that's part of what God is saying to us here. Seek first my kingdom. That the balance of that in our prayers, because, you know, if we just pray about ourselves, we're going to just keep being worried about it, right? But once we start getting our eyes off of ourselves and onto what God is doing in this world and praying for those people and those relationships, and then it's amazing how the Spirit can work through that to even give you ideas of how you can love and serve people, you know, might be writing a note card or having a phone call or whatever it is while you're praying. Can't tell you how often that happens when we're praying for other people. And then I'm not worrying about my stuff. So whenever you're anxious, start praying, but don't just pray for yourself. Pray and ask, okay, Lord, what are you doing right now in your kingdom? Because I want to seek your kingdom first and somehow engage with what God is doing in this world now. Well, Tammy, she was in the hospital for 2 weeks doing therapy. About another 2 months after that, our moms came out from Pittsburgh to drive her to the hospital 4 to 5 days a week to do the therapy for the next couple months, and she fully recovered. And she went back to playing competitive tennis with her tennis team, and really no seeming implications other than having to stay on anti-seizure medicine. And grateful for that. So, yeah. And, you know, when I reflect on that whole experience and that time, in terms of all the stress and anxiety that I experienced, I mean, let me tell you, like, it certainly didn't lengthen my life. I probably lost years off my life. I had to apologize to my doctor friend many, many times. It didn't help me relationally. And it really didn't improve my lifestyle any by having all that stress and anxiety. But let me just give you a little more of an update, because a lot of you are aware of this. This is 4 years ago. This brain tumor just keeps growing. She's had to have it radiated a few times, and 4 years ago, the doctor said, you know, this time we need to do surgery again. And it was interesting because we felt like the Lord had taught us, and we went into this surgery like, okay, Lord, it's on you. You've got this. We're trusting you. We really did have a peace. But it didn't go so well. And she came out a lot worse. She had the paralysis for a long time. She couldn't speak for many, many, many days. And, we're 4 years later, she's still doing the therapy. And she has this disability, this limitation, this weakness. And now we live with the anxiety that she might fall, because she has really nothing on her right side to hold her up. Like, her arm can't react or respond. And it would be bad. She would be breaking bones and a lot of things if that happened. And so the cool thing is we've experienced God's peace in that. I wouldn't trade that for anything. As hard as it's been. You know, we still have hard days. But God is present. And he shows up in the hard. And he gives us his grace. And gives us what we need. And let me just tell you too, we just are so grateful to be a part of the body of Christ in this church community. We just so love being a part of the church community. Couldn't do it any other way. It's truly amazing. But the cool thing is that God does give you that peace that passes all understanding. And you can't explain it. You really can't. It is unexplainable. And so Jesus says to us, he says, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious. It's not worth it. Trust me. I've got this. And if you seek first my kingdom, I've got yours. So let's pray. Lord, I'm just so grateful for just you created us and how well you know us and how much we need these practical truths and insights that you've given to us. It just shows your care and love for us, that you give us these words of wisdom, these promises to be with us, that there's can be a peace that passes all understanding. It is truly amazing. And so, Lord, I pray you just give us your grace, give us your strength to be able to trust you. Lord, we struggle in our belief, and you know that. But, Lord, help us to just grow and pursue you in that relationship with you. But, Lord, I just pray for each one here. Lord, just knowing that we all, coming in today or even now, we're carrying a burden. There's anxiety. And, Lord, we just together, collectively, we just call it tomorrow. We just declare right now our trust in you, that you've got it and that you will take care of tomorrow. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you again. Lord, we just want to pursue you, love you, experience you. And, Lord, I pray for each person here, wherever they are in their journey, Lord, that they would leave here just having experienced more of you and your spirit. And, Lord, that they would follow the leading of your spirit in their lives. And I pray these things in your name.